Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC, it's time for another live performance in our Soundcheck podcast series, streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. I'm John Schaefer. The drummer and composer Marcus Gilmore has been gigging professionally since he was a teenager. Over the years, we've heard him play with Vijay Iyer, with Chick Corea, and just a moment ago, with sax player Chris Potter as well. It didn't take long for Marcus to make a name for himself on the music scene, which is no mean feat when your grandfather has already made a name for himself as one of the legends of jazz drumming. That would be the great Roy Haynes. But Marcus, as you will hear in a moment, is more than a jazz drummer. He's got a pretty interesting rig set up here in our studio, and he's got the rapper Mike Larry Draw in tow as well, and the two of them are going to start us off with a piece called Silhouette.
Pain and replace it with better gain, Your Honor. I play you to point me the gun, cause I'm taking it back to my hip hop roots. My Afro brother will be proud of what my hip hop do. Very low is when I'm on the most hip hop stupid rat hot in this game. Some say they put a bullet at me if I close the door and get it like I never stop. I never rock someone else's style. No, that's one of those things I can't be proud of. If I live in the streets, I die in the streets. They told me the heat would meet me complete, but I'm so into it. I'm so into it when I took that and the whole life into it. Life is a journey. When it comes to it, I'm yearning, burning. We caving. Anytime I caving. Anytime I okay, it's nothing been a label. I is spitting. I am be smitten. Anytime you see me getting life as it goes, I suppose I can get the foes. Anytime I get my woes, and then out of that worthy, I used to wear that jersey from New York City to the unknown city of anything burning. So here I go with it. Here I go with it. Here I go with it. In their cranium, not much to say to my ass to truck up the deuce. Rounded by the goose, gray in every shade. Gang pull out the bang, chickens flocking the range. Rains that they duck, yelling for a truce. Sweeter than pineapple, leaking tomato juice. Anytime you see me, out it. Anytime you see me, I'm out it. Out my spine, any of mine. Choking shots, rounded. Four pounding. I've been grounded. And I show them how I do it, so I sizzle loud, kid. Blood whistle so fast, blood whistle so fast, blood. Blow the whistle so fast, blow the whistle so fast, blow the whistle so fast.
That is called Silhouette, a live performance here in the studio from Marcus Gilmore and Mike Larry Draw. You heard Mike rapping, and everything else was coming off of essentially our drum kit, Marcus, but I've never heard it make those noises before. I want you to swing a mic over and...
That'll help.
That'll help. Because I hardly know where to begin, so I'll just begin by asking, what the hell are you doing over there?
You know, that's a really good question. I wish I had an answer for you.
Most of this is our kit, which we hear day after day being used. But you've got something laid on top of some of the drum heads. And
yes.
it sounds like when you hit it here in the room, it's not making a noise, but it is triggering a sound. What is that?
So that's basically their sensors. Sensory Percussion is the name of the company made by Sunhouse. And their sensors, so they're basically reading the vibration that I'm putting into the drum. It basically, you have to train it, and once you train it, it knows when you're playing at a certain velocity or which part of the drum you're playing, and you can assign specific sounds for specific regions of the instrument. And they also have like a... Right now I have four triggers on, and they're all working with each other to kind of bring the sounds that I need, basically. So it's not like they're not completely independent. They're independent, but they're also working with each other too, so.
Which, kind of like the four limbs of the drummer himself,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Wait, I want to come back to that in a bit, but so the idea that it's kind of touch sensitive, right?
It's very sensitive, yeah.
So when digital keyboards first came out, you know, this was the thing. You hit a key and it just played the note and it just kind of sat there. And it wasn't until they became touch sensitive that you could play loud and soft.
Right.
And so you'll get a different sound hitting the thing softly than you would hitting it loud. And like if you're closer to the rim or more in the center, will that change the sound as well?
Absolutely, if you wanted to. You can program it like that, but you don't have to, but you definitely can, and you can go further. So.
All right, so that's obviously in addition to all the usual gear that accompanies the drummer these days.
Yeah, you know, cymbals, and some of these cymbals are kind of funky, but they're basically just cymbals. They're all just cymbals.
So the idea of these things all working independently but working together, I mean... You know, in addition to these sound check podcasts, one of the things that we've done here at New Sounds over the years is live concerts. And one of the most memorable concerts that I produced at Merkin Hall uptown some years ago was the late Max Roach.
Oh, nice.
Doing his four-part Inventions. Did you ever hear those?
You know what? I actually only heard part of it. I actually don't have...
I'm not sure he ever recorded them commercially.
Right.
But they were basically exercises in each limb acting independently. So
yeah, that
hence
sounds
the
about
title.
Right. That I feel like I might have heard like a bootleg or something, but I definitely don't. I don't recall an album, so I was trying to figure that out. I was like, I don't know what album. So there is no album, official album.
But it sounds like you're very much interested in that as well. That each limb is independent but part of a whole.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
So that's a great idea. How do you actually do that in practice?
Well, you just got to take it step by step. You know, you have to start in a singular sense. You know, you can't. Well, maybe you could, but I don't see it to be advantageous to try to do everything all at once from the beginning, you know.
It's an additive.
You kind of
process.
Build. Yeah, you start with one and you build from there. Yeah.
And how crazy do you get? Do you have like sevens against fives against fours against threes, or is it not that kind of thing?
Well, yeah, I've gotten into stuff like that, but to be honest, I mean, when I'm dealing with that concept of, you know, dealing with each limb in a very specific way, I tend to not really think about it like that, you know. Although I've gone through periods where I was studying, I was like, oh, what would happen if I played this rhythm in seven over here? Like, I've enjoyed doing that a lot in the past.
Yeah.
But in reality, when it comes to performing, I don't really do that kind of stuff so much. Although sometimes there might be some times when people say, I might get off and they'll be like, Marcus, what were you playing? I'll be like, well, I don't know. I have to hear it again. Because in the moment, I was just hearing the melodies.
Right.
Or the harmony. You know, I see it as a harmonic instrument. So.
Well, now that's, you know, that's one of the interesting things about this rig that you've set up is there have been lots of drummers over the years who desperately maintain that their instrument is a melodic instrument.
Right.
You've made it explicitly melodic because, you know, that you're triggering sounds that will produce melodic and harmonic content.
Right. Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, it definitely it's kind of like getting an extra boost when you add these sensors to the instrument. I mean, I think of it the same way without the sensors, but with the sensors, it's like your imagination can really, really, really run wild. So
as long as we're talking about, you know, independence of limbs and stuff, drummers, I don't know if you guys talk about this or not, but most other instrumentalists talk about handedness, whether you're right-handed, left-handed.
Okay. Right.
Is that a thing that you have to deal with?
I suppose I have to deal with it to some degree. You know, it's interesting because, like, if you want to get like real drum geeky, some people say.
Oh, I don't.
You don't think?
I definitely
get kind of deep. I mean, I don't know how deep you want to go, but I guess most people would say that I'm right-handed. You know,
okay.
I usually, if I'm going to play a ride cymbal, I usually play it with my right hand.
Okay.
But then a lot of times when I start phrases, a lot of time I start with my left hand. And sometimes I play the ride cymbal with my left hand, sometimes. And then there have been times where I've set up left-footed, so I was playing the kick drum with my left foot and the hi-hat with my right foot. In fact,
that's why I asked, because
Because
okay. Yesterday's drummer here in our studio, Jason Berger, was talking about watching you set up something, and it was on the wrong side, and it was just like, yeah, he was playing like lefty, and it never occurred to me that was a thing. It could be a drummer, could be lefty or righty.
Yes, that's definitely a thing, because there are some left-handed, I actually know some drummers that are exclusively left-handed, like they always have their right cymbal on this side, or if it's on this side, they play it with their left hand.
Yeah.
And then usually the bass drum is on the left side and the hi-hat's on the right side. It's a pretty big difference from playing it the other way around. It's pretty significant. But, you know, I do it every now and then. It's kind of rare, but I do it in situations where I feel like I just really want to hear what would happen if I just did it. That's why I did it sometimes in conscious, because I felt like I was getting into like a creative rut, and I felt like it was, things were just starting to sound the same, and I just needed to freshen it up. So I figured it's kind of like a radical way, and also kind of vulnerable, because like I'm not a left-handed player.
Yeah.
But my concept was, if I know the music, then I'm going to play the music regardless of whether I'm right-handed or left-handed. I'm just going to be more limited in some ways, but then I'll find more paths to play something that I normally wouldn't think of, which is what happened. So once I found that, then I switched back to right, and then I was able to bring that information back to the right-handed.
Right. So. Well, you know, guitarists will often talk about alternate tunings
for
the same reason. You get into habits in standard tuning, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. when suddenly the strings are not playing the notes you expect, it kind of shocks you into something different.
Right. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Because you can't play the same stuff you always play.
I can't. Yeah.
I can play some of it, but not most of it, so.
And I assume you've been playing drums for a very long time. When growing up with Roy Haynes as your grandfather, I mean, was that kind of music just in the house constantly?
Music was definitely in the house constantly. You know, he's the patriarch of the family, and obviously one of the greatest musicians ever. So,
And certainly one of the most recorded musicians in jazz history.
Yeah. No, he's one of the architects of this instrument. You know.
Yeah.
But. And the thing is, you know, he wasn't the only musician in my family. So he's on my mother's side. My mother's two brothers are both musicians as well.
Well, your Uncle Graham Haynes has been here on a number of occasions.
I'm sure. Graham and Craig, too, plays drums. And then my father is also a musician, too. My father, Randy Gilmore, plays saxophone. And my mom was singing in church. So really, like, it was music all over. It was really everywhere. So if you're into music, you could just start talking to anybody in my family about it. And you can get some information, you know, if you're lucky.
You know, I'm sure you've had the opportunity to talk music with a wide variety of people. I mean, you've played with, as I mentioned before, Chick Corea, Vijay Iyer, David, or more properly, David Varelas.
Oh, yeah.
With whom you kind of worked on this next piece, right?
Yes. David is a really great friend of mine, and one of my favorite musicians. So
terrific Cuban pianist based here in New York.
Yep. And sometimes we make things and I don't know, I'm not sure what to do with it. I'll just give him some drums. Like, hey, man, you want to do something with this? And basically, he gave me some stuff that he just had. And he was like, I don't really know what to do with it. It just kind of sitting in my computer. So I said, oh, yeah, I'll do something with it. Let me just chop it up real quick and put it in these sensors and see what happens. So
All right. That's
what I did.
So this piece is called Excerpts of Nube. And this is just you. Mike Lowry's going to sit this one out. Or stand this one out, as the case may be.
Oh, yeah.
Marcus Gilmore is here with us in the studio. You'll next be able to see and hear him live in New York performing with Pat Metheny at Sony Hall, September 11th, 12th, and 13th. Today he's here with us. You want to play it?
Sure.
All right. Excerpts of Nubé is the name of this live performance by Marcus Gilmore. That is Marcus Gilmore, solo, live, here in our studio on this edition of the Soundcheck podcast from newsounds.org. Sitting behind our regular kit, but with his sensory percussion adding all kinds of... It sounded like a submarine at the very end of that song there. So, Marcus, what's the question that people ask you when you get off? They say, what were you playing out there? Because that's what I feel like asking you.
Well, I mean, sometimes people do that. Sometimes people ask me, that's more of a musician thing. They ask me, like, specifics, like technical questions. Yeah, like, what rhythm were you playing? Or what were you thinking when you did this? And I usually can't remember.
Because my producer, Karen, in the control room says she swears she heard a Bo Diddley beat in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
And I know I heard a triple meter at one point in there. So there was just all kinds of stuff flying around.
Yeah.
How much of that is fixed and how much of that is in the moment?
For that piece, most of it is actually in the moment. Just a very little that's fixed. Okay. So every time I play, it could be different, really.
And with these sensory instruments, how reliable is the sound coming back to you? Do you know in advance all the time what you're going to get when you hit the drum head at a certain velocity in a certain spot?
Yeah, for the most part.
Oh, you are not convincing me at all.
Well, the thing is, it depends on how you program it, and you really have to make sure that you just, that you train everything. Because, like I said, they're so sensitive.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, if I played a kit tomorrow that's the same exact sizes, mm-hmm. and I have the same settings on there, and I wanted to play the same pieces, you can't just go on and play and expect it to be the same. Even mm-hmm. if it's the same size, because the tuning might be different, so the vibration is different. So you really have to make sure you check, you have to make a list and check yeah. it twice. Because it's very, that's why it's so amazing, because it's so sensitive, but also you have to be careful because it's so sensitive.
Right. So any kind of motion, I mean, you were almost triggering it while we were talking before
yeah,
you played
I,
that
Yeah, I
piece.
Did. You know, I sometimes I forget and I put my foot on the bass drum and I forget there's actually a sensor right here, so it just kind of went off. But
yeah. Now, Marcus, you are part of, Rolex has this annual mentor-protege mm-hmm. thing.
Yep.
And you are working with the great Indian classical drummer, the tabla player, Zakir Hussain, as his protege.
Zakir Hussain, yep.
So how is it, I mean, first of all, in that tradition, mentor and protege is how that music gets passed down traditionally. Mm-hmm. So for Zakir, it makes perfect sense. And, you know, in that tradition, you don't need to necessarily play the same instrument as your master or student.
Right.
What are you learning from someone whose approach to rhythm is a kind of a different tradition?
I mean, it's all music, you know? It's all music. So, you know, I have the tradition that I came up with, you know, the African-American culture. And you know, I've had mentors within my family and extended family. But I've also always been pretty open, you know? So when this opportunity came around, you know, it's obviously a great honor. So... And, you know, I'd had a little bit of experience studying music in the Indian classical tradition.
Really?
Well, just through, you know, not like, I'd never learned like all the syllables. I never went that kind of deep. But, you know, I had the sound in my ear, you know, by hanging out with people like Steve Coleman and Vijay. And my Uncle Graham was the first one to expose me to the tabla, really. I mean, I'd seen like Zakir's face and Chula Gertu. I'd seen like their faces being a young drummer, young kid reading mm-hmm. these magazines and stuff. But the first time I actually heard that instrument was through my uncle, because he was doing a lot of electronic music, and some of those guys were experimenting with that. So it was more in an electronic context.
Right. There was that Asia Massive movement in the 90s where people mostly like Talvin Singh.
Right, exactly. Talvin Singh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those guys, yep. So, and yeah, him and my uncle are pretty good friends, so.
Uh-huh.
But, and then a little bit later, shortly after that, actually, I met Steve and...
Steve Coleman.
Yeah. And he actually showed me, you know, some stuff that was Northern classical with the tabla, but then he also showed me a lot of the Carnatic stuff with this other maestro from the South, whose name is Shivaraman, Umayal Puram Shivaraman.
Okay.
He's a master, and it's a whole different system down there.
Right,
but,
right.
So, you know, I was checking the stuff from the South and the stuff from the North. And then fast forward, you know, I met Vijay and he was showing me some things, also Carnatic and North Indian stuff. And then I finally got to meet the great Zakir Hussain, you know.
Yeah.
So it's pretty great. But the thing about him is I love is that I've learned and I've got a chance to see really closely how he puts together these compositions. And not just through composed compositions, but also, like, you know, improvisation, spontaneous mm-hmm. compositions. And to see the way he thinks about it, and it's pretty fascinating, I must say.
Yeah, I mean, most Western rhythms, we take a rhythm and you divide it. That's how you get
right.
That's how you get syncopation. Mm-hmm. But in Indian music, it's additive. You're adding, you know. So the most basic rhythm, Teentaal, is 16 beats. It's 4 + 4 + 4 + 4.
Mm.
And so, you know, you may end up in a similar place, but you've come to it from a completely different point of view. You know,
right.
Division as opposed to addition.
Right.
Which is really kind of interesting. And if you can find...
It is really interesting.
Yeah. So you're in the middle of writing now, right?
I am. I always am, but I'm really trying to remember the writing a lot.
But you're writing a piece for the American Composers Orchestra.
Yes.
And is this kind of work with Zakir, is that kind of informing the way you're approaching composition?
Yes. I've never written for a large ensemble before, and he surely has.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
So I've actually been spending some time with him just getting that together, and he's been coaching me. I actually have to meet up with one of the guys from the ACO tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
It's actually one of the next things on my list. But Zakir has definitely been playing a very informative role
yeah.
in regards to that. So,
a piece for orchestra. Will you be in this piece?
At first, I just wanted to write something and sit down and listen to it, like sit back and be like, okay, I want to hear it.
You want to be a composer with a capital C.
I just want to hear it. I don't want to have to think about playing. But he convinced me. He was like, no, you have to you have to play. So I was like, all right. I'll play. I'll be on stage.
And when will we hear this? When do you think it'll happen?
I don't know when y'all will hear this, because it's, the plan right now is to perform it first, actually in Cape Town, South Africa, with a different set of musicians.
Wow.
So the thing is, it's kind of tricky. So we're going to finish the piece and then have it played by the ACO in rehearsal.
Right.
Sometime in the late fall. And then I guess it will help to have a reference to play it in South Africa. So we'll use that recording as a reference, play it down there. And then sometime, hopefully next year, we'll play it in the States.
In
New York.
Yeah, which is where the ACO is based.
Right. I don't know when yet.
Okay.
So if you're not in South Africa, I don't know when you're there.
Yeah. Obviously, you have a very wide, you've cast a wide net in terms of music and collaborators. You've got Mike Larry Draw here with you. Why don't we bring the two of you guys back together for this next piece,
yes.
which is called Flash Forward. Now, are these kind of standalone pieces, or are they parts of other projects?
They're all standalone, actually. Okay. Yeah, they're all. I mean, I never recorded Silla Wave or anything. You know, I've played it with different personnel, but yeah.
Okay. And Flash Forward?
Yeah, no. That's actually a fresh.
Super fresh.
Super fresh. Just for this.
Just for y'all. Just for y'all. This is special.
Marcus Gilmore is here with us, and the piece is called Flash Forward. Once again, Mike Larry Draw will be rapping while Marcus does everything else. Marcus looking very relaxed. He's got his feet up, which is a position I'm not used to seeing drummers in. But
this is to get the special trigger. No.
All right, let's hear the piece. It's called Flash Forward.
Differently, I came, I saw,
I came, I saw. Yeah. Ain't no need for the bullshit you seem to perpetrate. Every day, every night, I've been in fights. I seen flash floods. I'm seeing all types of things. I see what it was. The world is burning, you ain't doing nothing. The world is burning, you ain't doing nothing. Is money everything you dream of, you see of? People dying, cats, bloods, kids, crips. Everything isn't whipped, everything is in shambles. Everything too legit, I don't know what to do. You do know what to do, we don't know what to do. Instead of being true to ourselves, being true to the way we supposed to. Mother Earth is calling and crying, I've been the most to do as I can as a hip-hop artist to go through all of the things, the struggle in life as I go cool. Charging up, I'm charging what? I'm charging you for my reparations, the kids and the dedication. The kids never dedicated to nothing but they phones. They family crying, never leaving us alone. I tell them I got something to pick, it's a bone. Bury it into the ground, find out whoever Lee actually is in Darylin town. I tell them right now, if I can't throw a pitch to this mound, I'm gonna knock it off the park. Every day it's a shark rolling into this water. Tell them right now it's Noah Ark trying to go to border. Which one is right? Is it the Muslim or Christians? It's out of sight. I don't know, it's paradise. Then I'm looking to the sky, trying to figure out if outer space is with this you and I. I tell myself that I am a star, came from the planet Earth, but I'm going out to the Mars. Any question, you know it's out of sight of quasars. It's just me and a drummer trying to find out how far we can go. I've been a couple places in the world. I've been a couple places in the world. But I can't find the truth. I can't find the truth. I can't find the truth. Is it me? Is it you? 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 Is it this one from my melanated? Tell them right now, you my favorite. All I wanna do is be Jesse Davis in the top of the line of my spine. I can find in the time that I've been here that this world's a little difficult. Been here, yeah, trying to blast the dust, trying to take my Africa. Motherland is backing up, but I gotta move forward. Here's the south part of it. This is the heart of it. This is the one that made me feel so cartilage. In my thought, my process, I've been here, I've been so aware, beast life fair. I've been in the room with the moon, with the elephant room, trying to stampede home, trying to stampede home again. Home again. Home again. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Bringing on down, bringing on down. One, two, flavor here is the new. Rather yellow than the blue. Tell them right now, guess who got a clue? It's me, yes indeed, got the speed. I am Flash, I am everything, I blast everything. Proton, cannon bring, Colton, banners bring. Molton, Anton, hammers bring. Atoms to the new Motron. Tell them this is Motrin, trying to get it prolonged. This is my headache, I tell them this is the bed. Written bed, hitting it into the bed. Giving me more than everything, it's consistency. If I can't move, you can't move neither. You can't move neither, head, arm, leg, leg, arm, head. If I get head in the bed, that's right, head in the bed. Meaning I get hit in the head in my bed, that means I'm dead. The FBI is coming, FBI is running, CSI is gunning for me. Me, you and me, privacy. Never been an X-rated person, but the X-band coming. I'm a mutant in this possibility, cause my words bring more than just absurd, more than horrific. Man, that'll bring me Sam I am. Want the green, forget the eggs and the ham. As long as this green can make me a man that can take all out my hands and give it straight to the kids. That's right, where I'm living is not in a prison, but it feels like one because I heal like one inside my own thoughts and process that made me low God, low God. Oh, just me and my Lord. bringing it up with a sword. Anything I can do hard, anything I get it soft. Wait a minute, it's the man. Wait a minute, it's the plan. Bringing it all like gams. Gamma rays, gamma rays, gamma rays, gamma rays, gamma rays. Show him how I do it, how I do it, how I do it. Yeah, 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 yeah. How I do it. Give it away. Hide your wife. The cops is coming. The cops is coming. The cops is coming. Lock your doors. Hide your kids. Hide your wife. Lock your kids. Hide your dog. Hide your wife. Oh. Kick the snare. Kick the snare. Here or there. I'm a beast. I'm a bear. War of the uncompared. Yeah, I'm a man. I am a man. I am a man, gotta say it more than one time. I have a plan, why don't we just make everyone just one? Not man, not woman, no genders moving, no genders grooving, no anything grooving. Just be proton, neutrons, and organisms grooving. I tell them right now I'm losing my head. If I can't do what I need to do, it's my kids that I believe in. I live that I believe in. I mid what I heed in. I telling these heathens that beaving on me, then I tell them this is easy. I odds are the odds of my odds in my eyes. I rewind it back and realize what everything I said, it didn't mean nothing, but it all means something. The kid is mean fronting. Tick tock, tick, tick tock, tick. Marcus Gilmore, ladies and gentlemen. For you. 80%, 80%, 85%. They said you gotta do 85% if you try to protect yourself from the judge. They said you did it. No, it was not. No, it was not. They said you gotta do 85% of the feds unless you give your friends up and make them all dead. You get 5 years, they get about 10 plus 100, maybe even a death chair. Maybe even a death chair. That's crazy. You gotta die, never live, never survive. It's like lynching a brother. I don't wanna be commissioner, brother, but I can tell you, I can listen, my brother. You should listen, my brother. This one of those things that make you feel like you should give your wife a diamond ring, even though all of that stuff don't mean a thing. It's just a materialistic situation you enter. That's right, I've been through so much. My mama had cancer twice. Damn, she's living her life. Damn, she's doing what she could. I'm living it right. I'm just trying to be a good father. I'm just trying to be. Yeah, yeah. So, how'd your kids, how'd your wife? How'd your kids, how'd your wife? I don't know how this just became the hook, but alright. How'd your kids, how'd your wife? How'd your kids, how'd your wife?
That's called Flash Forward, live performance here in our studio. Marcus Gilmore, Mike Larry Draw rapping. Marcus, like a kaleidoscope of rhythms from our drum kit and these sensory percussion instruments of yours. So even when working with a rapper, you don't feel the need to give him a like a good boom bap.
Sometimes, know? Yes. Sometimes. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
With Mike, it doesn't really matter.
Right. Throw anything at me, I will rap to it.
It's true. Clearly.
This is true. Anything.
And I did notice the shout out to Green Eggs and Ham, which you don't often get in a song. So.
Indeed.
All right. So, Marcus, you're working on this piece for the American Composers Orchestra. You're back in town September 11th, 12th, 13th with Pat Metheny with his new trio. So we'll get a chance to see and hear you at Sony Hall on those nights. But this has been eye-opening and really a lot of fun to have the two of you guys here with us today.
Nice
Thank
to
you so
here.
Much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Marcus Gilmore, Mike Larry Draw. This is Soundcheck. That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.